podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Well, you probably saw the news this week. In Cincinnati, at a zoo, there was a little three-year-old child that decided to find his way into the gorilla exhibit. And you couldn't miss this in the news this week. Somehow this three-year-old child made his way down to the gorilla exhibit and came face-to-face with Harambe, a 17-year-old, 450-pound gorilla. And for a few moments, you didn't know what was going to happen. You know, the gorilla seemed very friendly at first, and then apparently the gorilla began to make some aggressive actions, and the zookeepers eventually had to end the gorilla's life by shooting it to death. Interesting thing throughout the week, as the week unfolded, because this happened a week ago from Saturday, the opinions started to come out. This is the way our world works in our day and age. See, everybody has always had an opinion about things, right? We've always had opinions about things. The deal is that in our society and culture today, with the technology that we have, now we get to hear everybody's opinions, right? Everybody thinks that we want to hear their opinions, so they make their opinions known. And here's some of the things I heard this week coming out of this news story. One was, well, what a tragic thing that this is, that had to be done, that gorilla had to be shot in order to save that little boy's life. But then I also heard, you know, that gorilla is an endangered species. And believe it or not, some people said, look, there are only about 880 of these particular gorillas living on the face of this planet. There are 7.4 billion people. Do the math. Maybe we should have let the gorilla be and saw what happened. Then there were other people that said, you know, that mother is awful. How could that mother let her child wander away from her and get down there where that gorilla is? Not to mention the father who was also there, but nobody mentions him for some reason. I don't know why. Then there are others who say that zoo is to blame. That zoo in Cincinnati needs to build better fences so that three-year-old children cannot get into gorilla exhibits. That shouldn't have happened in the first place. So they blame the zoo. And then I heard someone else say, you know, the whole idea of zoos is awful to begin with. Why do we put animals in captivity for our children to come and to look at for their pleasure, to look at these animals? And so all of these opinions, and you probably heard more opinions than those floating around throughout this week about this particular story. If you didn't hear about the story and you don't pay attention to the news, God bless you. You are in a perfectly peaceful place. Stay there. We live in a very confusing world, right? Because every news story that erupts with 100,000 opinions about why this has happened and what should have happened and how it could have been stopped and what needs to be done in the future. Every news story, and we deal with this day in and day out, and what is a Christian mind to do? What are we to do as believers in Jesus Christ when it comes to these sorts of things? And these are also times of confusion for our graduates. If you are graduating from college and from high school, especially graduating from high school, you have to start thinking about some things, right? What classes am I going to take? Where am I going to live? Who is my roommate going to be? How are we going to pay for this mess? What major am I going to take? As I get on campus, who am I going to make friends with? How am I going to make friends with people? What does my future look like? What am I going to do with all this freedom that I have all of a sudden that I didn't have when I was under the thumb of my parents and now I'm at school and I have freedom? There's so many things to think about and so much confusion in our thinking. The same is true of our college graduates. What job am I going to take? How am I going to make money? What does my future look like? Is this really what I want to do with my life? Is this degree I have really worth anything? And if you have student loans to pay off, you need to work in order to pay off those loans, and you have freedom as well. But now, college graduates have reached the age where they realize that freedom is not all it was cracked up to be. And they somehow wish they could go back to the family lifestyle, get back in the nest. Life is confusing, no matter what stage of life you are in. It is confusing. And so as we've been talking about dealing with all of these different experiences that we have in life, we come down to the bottom right, almost to the last one, dealing with confusion. And this morning, we don't have a whole lot of time. I just want to look at one passage of Scripture with you. It is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And if you have your bulletin this morning, there is actually printed out for you in the sermon notes that passage of Scripture. Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. And so let's look at this passage of Scripture. It starts off with the word trust, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this word for trust means to be able to feel safe, to be able to feel confident, to be carefree, not to be anxious and worried and confused, but to feel solid and safe and confident, and to rely on something or someone with the result that you feel like you've got things together. Now, the opposite of trusting is to be anxious, to be worried, to be fearful, to be insecure, to fret about the matters of life. But to trust means to be confident and peaceful and secure. And that's the emphasis here, is the feeling of security. See, sometimes when we talk about trust or belief, we think in terms of the mental aspect. Yeah, I believe that's true. Sometimes we think of the volitional or the aspect of the will. Well, I believe that, so I'm going to act on it. But here, this particular word for trust is more related to the feeling of confidence, of security. So to trust in the Lord is like resting in Him, relying on God, allowing yourself to be taken up into His strong and capable, comforting arms, like a child, an infant asleep in the arms of her mama, just resting and comfortable, right? In other words, what we do is we throw the weight of our life and all of the issues that we experience in this world and all of the worries that we experience day by day, we throw all of those things on Him and allow Him to have control. Because we know who God is, right? We know that He is an all-powerful, all-knowing, merciful, holy, and loving God. And if we believe and trust that that is who God is, then it creates within our soul this sense of well-being, because we know that He is in charge. The reality of who God is, that He is trustworthy, combined with your ability to allow Him to be God in your life, to be who He is for you, will cause you to be able to trust in a trustworthy God, right? To have faith and to put your faith in a faithful God. Isaiah chapter 30, starting with verse 15, we read these words. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. Right? To turn your life over to God, to repent, to confess your sins, and then to rest in Him. There is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it, as He speaks to Israel. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. What is it saying? Well, the people of God, instead of trusting in God, instead of repenting, they decided that they were going to trust in whatever else they could find, their own strength, the strength of horses, the strength of armies, the strength of the nations that surrounded them, rather than trusting in the God who had brought them to where they were beginning to offload their trust to other people and other strengths in their midst. So he writes, 1,000 will flee at the threat of one, at the threat of five, you will all flee away. It's a panic, right? Because nobody's trusting in God, till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Just think about a mountaintop with a lonely flagpole on the top. And that is what it's like to run away from God and to find yourself all alone. Yet, even in the midst of our panic and fretting and fussing and worrying and our anxiety, even as we have turned away from God and turned toward all of these other things in our life and in our world, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him. See, trust is a matter of waiting for God, of allowing your weight to fall upon God, to trust in Him. Psalm 27, verse 3 says, "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." Well, how can you be so confident if an army's coming up against you? How can you not fear when there are so many troubles and so much confusion in this world? How do you get away with being confident and secure in a world that is so wacky like the world we live in? Well, read the first verse in that psalm. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The Lord is the stronghold, the fortress of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And so we have this great God in whom we can trust. The passage continues, "Trust in the Lord," right? Trust in the Lord. The Lord is Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I Am, the personal God of the Old Testament. So we must be sure that our trust is in Him and in none other than the Lord. And then it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Allow that security in God to flow all the way from the outside to the inside, to your inner being. It's not enough to just say the words, "Yeah, I trust in God," or even just to mentally agree that God is trustworthy. The heart has to get involved, right? The heart, in Old Testament terms, is the central command system for the whole person. It's that place inside of us where we feel and experience life and where all of our decisions are made. It's where your thoughts, your emotions, and your will come together to regulate your life. Everything you say and do on the outside, all of your experiences in life are colored by what's going on in your heart condition. And if you are worried about the direction of your life, and if you are panicking and anxious about this world that we live in, chances are it's a heart condition. You are not trusting in the Lord God with all your heart. What you are doing is you are leaning on your own understanding. So the passage says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." Leaning is like a man with a cane or leaning on a wall or a pillar or something that has strength. If you're going to lean on something, then lean on something that will support your weight. Because if you lean on something in this world that won't support your weight, what is going to happen? You're going to fall over. Now, you may think that this thing you're about to lean on will support your weight, and you'll find out that that pillar is made out of plastic, and it falls over, and you go with it. So we all understand how this works in the physical world. It works that way in the spiritual world too. If you're going to lean your life upon something, make sure that it is something that can bear the weight of your life. Word to the wise, don't lean against things that can't support your weight. You will collapse. Your understanding may seem like something that's solid to you, your own understanding. But really, your own understanding of this world and the way it works and all eternity is about the size of a speck of sand in comparison to the understanding of God, which is all things, comprehensive. There is nothing that God does not know. So lean not on your own understanding, which is so small, and instead lean on God's knowledge, His infinite, endless knowledge. Because there's a lot that you don't know. I recognize that when I was a teenager and I graduated from high school, that I knew everything at that point in my life. But, you know, if I had leaned on my own understanding, I quickly found out just how much I really did not know. Even at this time in my life, I realize there is so much that I do not know. I cannot lean on my own understanding when it comes to things, that I need to turn to others who have more experience in my life. This is why we look to someone who knows better than we do for advice, wherever we find ourselves in life. When my car broke down, I sat down with Chris Stover, and I watched him as he worked out some figures on his cell phone and his computer and made some phone calls and figured some stuff out. And then we had a conversation about what I needed to do. You know, do I dump the car at this point? Do I buy a new car? Do I fix the car? What's the right thing to do here? And he was able to give me some experienced advice and to share with me. Why did I seek out his advice? Because I don't have any understanding when it comes to these things. I don't know the price of vehicles and what they're worth and whether they can be fixed. And I don't know anything about that kind of thing. So we look for someone in this world when we find times where we are confused who knows more than we do so that we can lean on their understanding rather than on our own understanding. Maybe you've experienced this. You've talked to a doctor before when you've had a health issue or when a family member has had a health issue and you've said to the doctor, now what would you do if this was your family member? What would you do if you were experiencing this? And you sit back and you wait to hear what they have to say. We lean on the understanding of others all the time. This passage is saying that ultimately, when it comes to the issues of life, if we want to have security, we must lean ultimately on the Lord. And that requires sometimes some counterintuitive thinking, questioning our own understanding. When you think that you have things figured out, you think you can get yourself out of any predicament in life, you think you're pretty self-sufficient at this time in life, you, my friend, are leaning on your own understanding and you are in a dangerous place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. What's the problem with their peace and safety? Their peace and safety is built on an illusion. It's not built on the truth. It's not built on God. It's built on a flawed foundation. And as a result of leaning on their own understanding, they realize that there really is no peace. There really is no safety. So we have this call to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And we have this caution that we better not lean on our own understanding. So if I can't lean on my understanding, what am I supposed to do when I'm confused? When I'm thinking about the future, when I begin to panic about experiences in my life, what am I supposed to do when I can't even lean on my own understanding? Which direction do I head? Verse 6, in all your ways, submit to Him. In all your ways, throughout all of your journey, no matter what decision you have to make, whether it's big or whether it's small, every single step of the road in your life, through it all, submit yourself to Him. Now, I remember when I memorized this passage years and years and years ago, I learned it in the King James Version, which uses the word acknowledge. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. It's probably some of you were expecting to see that word because that's how you learned it. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And that's a good word because the Hebrew word that's found there is the word to know. Every step of the journey, we are to know God. We are to know who He is. To know God implies more than just this mental awareness of I know who God is and I know that God exists. To know God means that you embrace Him in all that He is, that you experience Him, that you recognize how great He is, how huge He is. And once you do that, you will fall to your knees and submit to Him. Knowing God implies submitting to Him. You cannot truly know God and not have your life completely transformed. If your life is not completely transformed, you don't really know who God is. You haven't figured it out. Because knowing God demands that you worship Him. Once you understand who He is, and if you're not worshiping Him and following Him and submitting your life to God, then you don't know the Lord. If you're still sitting back thinking, I wonder if this God can be trusted. I wonder if I could make this risky decision to honor and trust Him rather than to do what comes naturally. You don't know God because you cannot know God and stay the same. In all your ways, know God. And what does it say? He will make your paths straight. Now, will he remove all of the obstacles from your path? No, those of us who live in this world know that that doesn't happen. But, Scripture teaches us that he will direct us successfully through life as we trust in him and submit to his sovereignty. Or he may remove us from this life and bring us into eternity if we have put our faith in him. We know better if we know God. We know better, and we will follow him. When you lean on your own understanding, your path gets crooked. Or even worse, you just go around in circles as you lean on your own understanding. But the passage says, if you will submit to God and know him, he will make your path straight. It's a very important thing in the land where this was written to have a straight path. Because not only did the paths have to avoid obstacles, but in addition to that, the paths went from high elevations to lower elevations. The passage here is talking about a path that is even and flat and straight. You may say, well, that sounds easy. I'm not saying that the Christian life is necessarily easy if you know God and submit to him. But what I am saying is that he will be with you, holding your hand every step of the way. And you can feel secure in him and confident as you walk with him. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It's not for them to direct their steps. Your life is not your own. Your choices are not your own. Your future is not your own. God holds all of that in his hand. If we would just submit to him and ask him to show us the next step. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit yourself, submit yourself to him, know him. He will make your path straight. You will face many Harambe gorillas in your life, face to face with the ugly gorilla. And many difficult decisions will need to be made in your life, in your classes, in your work. When it comes to moral decisions you're going to have to make in your life, and it will be confusing. Because you will hear the opinions of thousands and thousands of people speaking into your life, telling you what you should do. But the Word of God says, do not lean on your own understanding, but know God. And in knowing God, you will follow God, and he will make your steps and your path straight. What sets a follower of Jesus apart is the ability in these difficult, confusing decisions in life to think biblically and to think about who Jesus is and how he would live your life for you and to do his will. And our graduates today have had a firm grounding through their families and through our youth group in the Word of God. And you are going to take a step out into the unknown. And when you do that, I praise God that you will have that foundation to lean on. So when you get confused, which you will, maybe the first day on campus, where is my class? I can't find it. And you walk into the wrong class and you realize that you look really stupid and you turn around and walk out. Believe me, I've been there, right? Confused, you will be confused. Walk with God. Right? Spend time in his word. Know him. Learn to pray without ceasing, right? Say, Lord, help me in this situation. Get me out of this, Lord. Help me to find the right direction. Lean on God rather than leaning on yourself or the wisdom of this world. Trust in God and rely and derive your self-confidence from knowing him. Stay in his word. And April had such wise words for you. Find God's people on campus. Brothers and sisters in Christ. You can find them in campus ministries. You can find them in local churches in the area. Find the people who believe like you believe and pray with them and study the word with them. You will be amazed at how your faith will grow when you find others to travel that journey with. Plug into the church. Seek after him. Don't lose your faith. Whatever you do, don't lose your faith in God. Dig deeper, right? Along with your studies at school, study his word, and he will direct you. The only way to truly get a hold of your life in this confusing world is to take hold of God's hand. I know this, that most of what we know about God and about life comes from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, right? In the book of Genesis, we are taught that human beings are created in the image of God, that we have value before God, that we are special in His eyes. But we also recognize that, God created this earth and the animals of this earth, right, in order for us to lead them and direct them and guide them, that we have authority over this planet. But we also recognize that this world is broken, that because of our sin, that this planet and the animals on this planet and we ourselves are broken, and we need God to put us back together. So should it surprise us when something like what happened at the Cincinnati Zoo throws everybody into confusion, when we know that that child is created in the image of God and needs to be protected from that animal? We recognize that the right thing was done. Now, we can second guess as to how that little boy ended up there, but in the moment, we need to think like believers. There will come a day in our culture, and it's coming fast, when the life of that animal will be of a higher value than the life of that child. It's true today in the womb. It's true today when we talk about infants that are born with disabilities, and they're already talking about parents having the opportunity to end that child's life right at birth if they don't like the way the child turned out. So if you have a gorilla that's worth so much to our culture, it's just one step, one more step before they just allow that gorilla to be. Let's recognize that we need to lean on the understanding of our God when it comes to the decisions of this world. And our decisions will not always be popular, and our decisions will not always be the majority opinion, but if you lean on the Lord and trust in Him, He will make your paths straight. I pray that y'all will remember that day by day as you do what you have to do in your school and in your future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word this morning, and Lord, the reminder, oh God, that we need You. That, Lord, we are just not capable to live these lives on our own, Lord, because we are deceived, we are lost, we are sinners. We thank You, oh God, that when we repent and put our faith in You and rely on You day by day by day, Lord, that You lead us and direct us to an eternal future upon a straight path. So, Father, may we, Lord, trust in You. I pray for our graduates, Lord, that if they remember anything from this Sunday where they have sat in our church with these caps and gowns, Lord, that they would remember that they need to trust in You with all of their heart, no matter the situation in life, to trust in You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.